Questions? Answers? Common denominator? Faith. I'd like for us to start reading in Matthew, the 7th chapter, a very familiar scripture, and nothing I'm giving this afternoon, is new. But the Lord has inspired it to us. 7th chapter of Matthew, we want to start reading about the 7th verse. This thing doesn't want to... There. It says here that... See, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here I am. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth. And everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Thank the Lord. Asking questions. I believe we all have questions, no matter how old we are. Children, young people, middle-aged and old. There are times that we have questions. God wants us to have answers. Yes. I want to read Psalms 119. Desire your prayers that the Lord will bless His Word. Yes. We'll open it up to us. I know it's a sleepy time. I want to read verses 18 through 20. David said here, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. God's laws. We've heard some messages this week of despising the judgments, the laws, the commandments, kicking against those things. We've also had a message that said for us to walk about Zion and to behold it and to look. David here is saying that he is having such a longing in his heart for the judgments, for God's judgments. God's judgments are right and pure. The scripture tells us that judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And when you and I may hear a message that sounds like judgment, if we can be as David here and say, my heart just is breaking with longing because I know there is life when I hear messages like this. When I hear the warnings, when I hear the instructions, I'm not kicking those things or resisting or despising those things. Thank the Lord. Young people many times have questions. They might wonder, well, why do we do this or why do we do that? There are answers. There are answers for us all. Thank the Lord. I want to turn to Deuteronomy. I want to read chapter 29, verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law." The little title we have today indicates secret things. I have a question. I don't know the answer, but I have a question. I want to know. And the scripture here says that the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed are for you and me. And I believe that the Lord is wanting to reveal Himself even more than what He has. That as you and I live and breathe and move and walk, that He takes pleasure. One scripture says, it is His pleasure to give us the kingdom, to open it up to us, to reveal it to us. I want to turn to Proverbs. I want to lay a foundation here. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It said, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." We might wonder how it's an honor or a glory for God to keep secret. Maybe not revealing it all in one place or at one time. But our God takes great pleasure in revealing Himself. And you and I are, as human beings of the earth, we are only able to grasp as He is able to reveal. As we begin to ask our questions, I'm thinking about different kinds of questions. There are right questions, and there are wrong questions. What makes them right or what makes them wrong is the motive that is behind them. Right questions will be with a sincere desire for answers or information. I want to truly understand this. We may read something in the Word of God. It may be obscure to us. It may be cloudy. And we've all been there. And yet, because my heart is yearning for an answer, I can come before the Lord with a right question. Lord, I want You to give me understanding. The Scripture also says that if we lack wisdom, that He will give it to us liberally and He'll upbraid not. I believe that that also means that if we lack knowledge or understanding of His Word, that He will do the same for us. That He will enlighten our eyes. He takes great pleasure in giving us answers. Paul said in one place, he said that you and I see through a glass darkly. That it's obscure, it's blurred, it's not totally clear. There are times that we are in places like that. And yet, The Lord wants us to see it clearly. And through His Spirit, He will reveal it clearly. Thank the Lord. Over in Daniel, the second chapter, I want to read a portion of the verses over there. Daniel 2. I want to read a portion of verse 21 and verse 22. It says, He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. If I read that scripture, I would almost come to the conclusion that it's only those that are wise and already with knowledge that gets more. The scripture verifies that. Jesus said it. He that hath, he'll have more. He'll give more. Why is that? It's because that individual's heart is yearning for the truth and seeks after it. He asks, he knocks, and he seeks after it, and it's all opened up. And the scripture says that all who ask, all who will seek, all who will knock, will get what they're asking for. It didn't say that there would be just a few. It's those that will do it. That is the key. That is the answer for you and me to be enlightened in His Word, to understand His will, is for us to ask. It's the questions and seeking for the answers. And those that seek for it will find it, will receive it. Thank the Lord. It will not be obscure. Wrong questions or wrong motives will not get the answers. That's the difference in the two. It the motive behind a question that is for the purpose of challenging or tempting or self-justification. These kind of motives are for the wrong reason. I want to challenge you about the truth. So why do we do this? There will be no answer. We find that Jesus was tempted. That the people came to Jesus one time, tempting him because of Moses' law. It was concerning divorce. They wanted to be justified. And Jesus gave them an answer that they didn't receive. Other times there were people that came to him. One time they brought a woman who was caught in adultery. And they told him Moses' law then too. What did he say then? He didn't say anything, did he? There are some questions that God will not answer. It will stay unanswered because the motive there is wrong. We need our hearts opened to the truth and a desire for it. Thank the Lord. The scripture tells us that you and I will know if we follow on to know. That means that I've embraced this light, this understanding. I've applied it to my life. I haven't kicked it. I haven't despised it. I've embraced it. And I followed through and obeyed it. And then when the next question comes, and I don't have understanding of maybe what the Word says, because my motive before has been right, because I have sought the Lord with a pure heart, there will be light and understanding for those things in my life. I can rest in the Lord. I can trust in the Lord. I thank the Lord one time I was in a certain situation or place in my life and I needed some answers. I didn't even know how to live. I had been under an accusation of the enemy. And I had more or less just, I couldn't do enough. Or if I did, I didn't do it right. It was just, I was accused of the enemy. When the Lord broke the power of that thing, I had been in it so long, I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to act. And I began to seek the Lord. God gives us answers and will show us how to live. Thank the Lord.
Yes,
well, the Lord gave a scripture right in the Sunday school class. And it was just what I needed, and it was so inspired. And I have quoted it many times in the congregation. And that scripture is, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. What a revelation that was to me. I could rest in the Lord. I could just simply cast myself on Him. And if I didn't do it just right, He's promised, I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to show you, see. So you and I, if our heart is turned toward the Lord, yes, we may have questions and we need answers. We will get those answers. He will reveal Himself to us. It's for the right motive. It's for the purpose of my spiritual strength, my spiritual growth, and my purpose to go to heaven, and God will reveal it to me. He wants me to go to heaven far more than I want to go, and He will do it for me. Thank the Lord. Questions and answers may change just a little bit in our thought, but it's still the same. There are questions that are not always revealed. The answers are not always revealed. We find over in Daniel, where Daniel was, the word of the Lord had come to Daniel and was giving him prophecies. Many of those prophecies were descriptions of what will be at the end of time itself. He gave so many of those prophecies, and then the Spirit of the Lord said, shut up the book. Stop the words. Daniel was asking those questions. He said, what will it be? And when will it be? And what will be taking place? And there was just enough given that you and I need to know. But it only went so far. And God said, no, stop right here. Shut up the words. Close the book. Seal it. It went over into the New Testament, and the disciples had the same questions of Christ Himself. They wanted to know, when is this going to happen? How long? What are going to be the signs of your coming? Christ gave them many things that's been given to us. And yet He only went so far. Questions with answers. God wants us to have them when it comes to doing with His Word. How to live this way, His commandments, understanding of what He desires for His people and His church to be and live. He will willingly and openly open that up to us, has a desire to do it. But there will be questions that will not have answers. John the Revelator, the same happened. The Spirit of the Lord said, close the book, put a seal on it. Even Christ doesn't know the answer of when the end will be. But you and I will have to endure to the end. Those are the ones that will be saved. And there's going to be a space for you and me that our questions may still be there, but we may not have answers. And I'm not talking about questions of the truth now. We all have questions of time. We all have questions of the future. What is it going to be like? What will we have to face before the end? Do you ever ask those questions? Do you ever wonder about that? Do you ever think, what will happen to the church? Do you ever think about what will happen to our society or our nation? All of that is for not for us to know. That's where faith comes in. We will have to have faith that God knows. And that He is able to keep you and me in whatever is in our path. Thank the Lord. Do you ever wonder if you will be a martyr? Do you ever wonder about the things that you read? After all, you know, they say history repeats itself. We count ourselves blessed in our nation. We count our nation a very prosperous nation. The whole world looks on us in that way, and yet at the same time may hate us for what we stand for, not just in Christianity, but in prosperity. The song said that we are His child when we have abundant store, or in deep poverty. Most of us have never experienced deep poverty. Most of us in our whole life, even if we might be less fortunate as others in our land, are far more fortunate than people in other lands. We were made to realize this even more as we went to Honduras. And we came back, and it's certainly left an impact on our mind and our vision of where we live. I thank the Lord for it. But questions with answers are those that will help us make heaven. But there's going to be questions with no answers. What will be your future? What's in your path? What will be your end? Those don't have answers. It is a natural curiosity to wonder about our future. It's in our society to have a wonderment. There are palm readers and fortune tellers and people that take cards that are supposed to be able to tell you what's going to happen to you through another spirit. Young people, don't ever be tempted. And don't yield to the temptation to try to discover the unknown. God has it sealed up. He has no desire for you and me to know what's in our path. I have known of one who did that. They are gone today. But they went to a fortune teller with a friend, not having any intention at all of partaking of that, but there is a power with those kind of things. And this individual was talked into, if you would say it that way, to having her fortune or future revealed. And her life unfolded as it was told. It's a very dangerous thing. Your path, and you have a path. I have a path. Each one of us here today has our own path. You are the only one that can walk on that path. No one else can walk with you except Christ. But that path is only for you. It is already ordered, especially for those of us that have given our lives to the Lord. Our paths are ordered of the Lord. It's all planned out. It's those who have stepped out of that path that God so ordains that their path is a path of destruction. Their path will end in destruction. But you and I, we can trust our God by faith that He will, all of the questions that I might have, He will take care of them all. Those things that have no answers. There's a lot of questions as to why. And one thing that troubles me is that I am hearing individuals question God and almost blaming God for what happens to them in their life. When you and I ask the question and say, why did God let that happen to me? That is fringing on the very line of accusing God of allowing something bad in my life. Is this fresh water? I'll drink it anyway. Okay. I remember when our daughter was killed that there were questions as to why. I would wake up in the morning and I would say, why is the sun still coming up? Doesn't it know my world has ended? Why are people still laughing? Why are the cars still going? Why is life going on? My husband was at the hospital when they called and said that our daughter was gone. They had been calling different times and giving a report. And when he heard that she was gone, he was not saved, but he just dropped the phone. I wasn't there. It was told to me. Thank you. But he said, this thing is of the Lord. When you and I have things come into our life and we begin to blame God for them, why did you let that happen? We can't get the good that God wants for you and me to have. The scripture tells us that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. He has a purpose for you and me in our lives. He has His hand on our path. He doesn't want us to kick against that plan that He has for us, that things that he allows to come into our life. Lord, help us. I think about the young people here today, and I know there is a natural curiosity of your path. There was a natural curiosity of me with me when I was your age. I think it's with all of us. Probably one of the most questions that we ask or wonder about at your age is, who will I marry? We're just at the threshold, you might say, of life. And it's a natural thing to desire your own companion. It's a natural thing to desire your own home and to have your own family. God made us that way. He desires for us to be that way. He tells us to the young women, that's when you're to bear children and raise children. And he didn't really design that for us older women. It's a special time. And there is a natural curiosity and wonderment. And sometimes even and you have a little anxiety about it. When I was young, and I only tell this to warn you, because of our natural curiosity, we're always looking for a sign to show us who we're going to marry. Well, one time I had this dream, and it was about a certain young man among the church. And the next morning, it was very real to me, and I cried out to the Lord like this, and I said, Lord, if that is the one for me to marry, cause him to call me today. And he lived out of state. Did you know that young man called me that day? But he was not the one for me. I said, I'm saying these things as a warning because, you see, the devil heard that request also. And there was no legitimate reason why this young man should call me that day, but he did. Now, if I had only been looking for signs, such as the children of Israel did, and such as the Jews did, seeking a sign, and there's not going to be any sign given. See, there are questions that have no answers. God has it sealed up. He has it closed. He doesn't want us to go beyond. He wants to be the guide in our life. He wants to order our path. And your path, if you will submit your will, submit your way, and not try to figure out your life, but let him figure your life out, it will work. Oh, but what about those who marry in the church and it doesn't work? And that one that you have chosen has given up God and gone out into sin. That happens. Just because you are raised in the church and this young man and this young woman has a background of the church of God, and that's good. I believe that even if they don't remain saved, I believe there's still knowledge that can be common ground. But it is no guarantee that one that you end up with sitting among the pews is going to remain saved. I don't mean to be negative. This is real. This is reality. This is why we need God to order our path. And if I enter into a marriage that I know God has ordered, and if that should happen, I know that He can keep me with an unsaved companion. Thank the Lord. But you will have questions that won't have answers. There are questions with answers. I don't want to leave you with a feeling that all questions are not answered. When it comes to the Word of God and revealing it to our understanding and causing us to have greater light and understanding, there are answers. But there are things in your life and mine that is shut up, closed up, hid, unrevealed. And yet He has grace. Yes. And the common denominator then is faith. Yes. Faith in the power of Christ to keep me. Some people might say, well, they just got the wrong one. No, they didn't. If you stand before an audience and a minister and before God and you take vows, I thought about what was said this morning of the our marriage license is in heaven. Speaking of the church, the bride and the bridegroom. And my mind had to go back to my own marriage license. What did it say? I signed my name on there. I attached myself to Him and He attached Himself to me. And that makes us the one. That's the only one. Young people, I want to tell you something. When I was raising my children, we started teaching them very young, you only get one chance. If it's seemingly wrong, that's your chance. There's not another chance. Like the world, well, if I don't love them, I'll go get me another one. You can't have another one. That's the right one. That's it. You are united in the very sight of God and in heaven and before these witnesses as one. Thank the Lord. And Christ is able to keep you. But remember, don't tempt God to know the future and look for signs that could lead you wrong, because that's your chance. Our faith, and what is faith? Faith is the substance of our hope. And it says that it's the evidence of things that I cannot even see. Those are things that are closed up. Those are things that I have to believe and hope for and have faith in and yet not really be able to know the answer. And these are places that you and I will have to trust. When we do not have answers, and there will be no answers for some of these questions. Abraham's faith was tried when he was required to give up his son. His son had a question, Father, where is the sacrifice? Wasn't that a legitimate question? The answer was what? The Lord will provide. I don't see it, but He will provide it. But that question seemed like it had no answer at a moment. Was his evidence. Yes. That's where his confidence was. Thank the Lord. The scripture tells us that Abraham even believed that if his son's life was taken, that God could raise him back to life. So you see where his hope was. Thank the Lord. In closing, I want us to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. There are a number that are, their names are recorded in this chapter, but there are a number of people that are not. There is a nameless number of people that are told what they passed through in this particular chapter. Verse 33 describes that. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Now these are the nameless ones, see. Do you not think that they might have had questions? Questions that were not answered? Questions that they had to trust? That they had to have faith? All of these did. It says that they quenched the violence of the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they obtained a better resurrection. Lord, will that be us? Will we face the sword? Will we suffer persecution? Could we face the lions? We don't know. It's sealed up. But the scripture here says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed, I'm just passing through. You have a path. You have a life. You have a future. All of us here today have a hope of a future. Have a hope of tomorrow. Have a wonderment of what will happen. We have those among us that could be facing the end of their lives, and they're not old. And that in itself creates in me somewhat of a curiosity of, will that be my lot? Sister Velda has said that she feels like this is for the church because she says what she needs right now, you may someday need. If time goes on, you'll need it. You'll need the prayers of the saints. You'll need answers. You'll need inspiration. You'll need faith. We all need our faith fixed because we may die without having received what we hoped for. You see, there is an appointed time. Death is not haphazard. I don't think that's quite the word I wanted to use, but the scripture says it is an appointment. And I have an appointed time, and you have an appointed time. That's part of my path. That's part of your path. Now, what happens between my birth and my death is all of my path. And yet, it's not revealed to me or to you how you and I will leave this world. And I must have faith. I must accept it that there's going to be some questions that do not have answers. I must accept it that God is in control. If I have placed my life in His hands, I accept it. Let Him order my days. Let Him order my time. Let Him order my life. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.